Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want you to be a part of it. The lines are wide open right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I am not in the studio today. I'm actually down in Port St. Joe, Florida.
We did notice you're missing here.
That's right, with a ministry called Blue Skies Ministries, and they're a wonderful outfit. My cousin Melinda had the vision for this a number of years ago, but it's a ministry that serves families that are dealing with pediatric cancer. And so there are 10 families here, and boy, I spent some time with the parents this morning, and the stories and the journeys and the pain and all that they have gone through. Just the diagnosis, you know, just hearing the word, your kid has cancer. And, you know, the real kick in the gut that is, and all, you know, that they had to deal with emotionally, and then trying to figure out, well, what's the way forward. And so I'm here this week, and I think it's going to be a wonderful time as these families are able to step away from kind of the hospitals and the doctors and the tests, and just get a chance to reconnect, to rekindle their relationships, and have a chance to relax and just be normal families. You know, they all said, you know, they had dear friends, and you know, at a point in time, you know, the friends just don't know what to say or what to do. Yeah. So they feel like they have to go this journey alone oftentimes. And so this is a great opportunity for them to reconnect and just get with people who actually know what they're going through. So I just didn't, you know, ask our listeners to be praying for this week, praying for these families. And I'm certainly going to be posting some pictures and, you know, some stories and some observations on our Facebook page. So follow us there.
Yeah.
Also want to make mention, I was in Wichita, Kansas over the weekend at the Union Valley Bible Church. The pastor there is Steve Hodgson and his wife Jeannie, and we've known Steve for some time, and our good friends Doug and Sharon Lowen attend there, and they're a part of the leadership team, and it is a new covenant church. And I would just say, if there's anybody in Wichita or Hutchinson or any of that area that's looking for a grace-based new covenant church, that is the place to go. I it was just warm, sincere, a lot of spiritual depth there. It just made my heart just swell with excitement and gratitude of what God is doing through Steve and Jeannie and their team there, and just the impact that it's making. And I just had a great time talking to their men on Saturday, and then leading their worship services yesterday, the two services. And we talked about the new covenant, and it's, you know, you can't go wrong when you talk about the new covenant.
Without question.
Well, and speaking of the new covenant, we're talking about taking a stand this month, and how it's important to take our stand on the gospel, how it's important to take our stand in the grace of God, how it's important to be strong in the Lord, knowing that when we're strong in the Lord, when our enemy attacks, we're going to still be standing. There's great hope there. And speaking of this new covenant, we need to know that we are standing in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. And a verse I talked about at yesterday's services in Hutchinson, Kansas, was this one from Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 18. And it reads this: "For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God." And when Jesus died on the cross, since the wages of sin is death, and that's what the old covenant eventually led to, it was a covenant of death. That death on the cross 2,000 years ago brought an end to that old covenant. It was finished. It was completed. It was fulfilled just as Jesus said it would be fulfilled. But in that, there was a new covenant that was ushered in. So one came to its conclusion and one had its beginning at that cross of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to realize that that old covenant has been fulfilled in us. The righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled in us through the work of Jesus Christ. And because that's true, now that old covenant is set aside. God set it aside. We need to set it aside and take our stand in this new covenant. That's where life is to be lived to the full. That old covenant was a ministry of death. This new covenant is a ministry of life. And we have to realize that we are new covenant believers. We're not old covenant believers. And this is so vitally important for people to come to this declaration in their hearts, to be able to say with confidence that they are new covenant believers. That's what God has set up. That's what God has established through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He ratified, his blood ratified the new covenant and made it effective today. It is in effect for you and me. So we live under this new covenant. And if we're going to grow in the grace of God, if we're going to see the life of Christ lived out through us, then we need to know that we're in this new covenant. It can't happen in the old. That's a ministry of death.
Yeah.
Only in the new are we going to experience the life of Christ, and we're going to experience it to the full.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines right now. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk directly with us about, if it's still the first half of the, actually, first quarter of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can be a part of it right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, can we have just a little heart-to-heart talk, like right now? We have an immediate financial need, and we need your help today. By September 30th, we need to raise $50,000 to cover the cost of radio and other media. This is an urgent need. It is a real need. And let me say this, friends, from my heart to yours. The Spirit of Christ Jesus has sent each one of us here at the Basic Gospel Ministry to boldly proclaim this message. And each member of our staff gives back to support it. We all do. If I were able, I would personally finance this ministry's need to keep this message going forward. But that's not possible. And it shouldn't be necessary, even if it were. You know, every one of us have heard, believed, those of us who have heard, believed, and are living in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to do our individual parts. So friends, once again, we need to raise $50,000 by September 30th to cover the cost of radio and other media. Now this need, as I said, is urgent, and it's a real need. We need your help today. You'll find the information that you need to be able to donate at basicgospel.net or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. Let's do it, friends. Let's make this happen, okay? BasicGospel.net or BasicGospel.net/Canada. Once again, let me give the number, 844-322-2742. It's wide open. We'd love to hear from you. Love to, for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We had this email question from an anonymous listener in Seattle, Washington. Guys, he says, your ministry is a life changer, and I thank God for you. My question is, can a born-again believer blaspheme the Holy Spirit and lose their salvation? Is there a scripture, if there is, that supports that? That's from an anonymous listener, as I said, in Seattle.
The answer to that is a resounding no. Once you're saved, you're saved. And you're saved because you receive the life of Christ. I think that's where we get so confused. We don't understand what salvation is to begin with.
Yeah.
And we just think of salvation in terms of forgiveness and maybe a golden ticket that will grant us entry into heaven when we die. But that's just part of the story. Our real problem, not only were we sinners in need of forgiveness, not only were we unholy people were far away from a holy God, spiritually dead and in need of life. And so all those passages in the book of John, for example, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I am the bread of life. Is really Jesus addressing that deepest spiritual need of the human heart, and that spiritual death. So when we come to Christ, when that gospel message takes a hold of our hearts, we receive Jesus. And Jesus Christ himself comes to live inside of us, and we are now alive with him. So our life is his life. And his life is an indestructible life. He's already defeated sin and death. The resurrection was proof of that. And so when he comes to live inside of us, we become indestructible as far as sin and death are concerned. Why? Because his life is indestructible. He's already taken care of the sin issue. He's already taken care of all of our sins. When we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. We're declared righteous, which is proof that our sins have been taken away once and for all. And he remembers our sins no more. So when he comes to live inside of us, that is an eternal transaction. He has promised he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He has put us into himself. We are in his hand, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. So we have everlasting life. So this sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not something a Christian could ever commit. We just will never do that. Now, there are people who do, and what is it? Well, ultimately, it's simply a rejection of Jesus. So they may have heard the gospel, and they say, heck no, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And it's not so much a passive rejection. There's a lot of people that just haven't, they may have heard something about Jesus, but really haven't heard the gospel. Well, it's going to come to them at some point. But there are others that have heard it, and they're holding their fist high in the air and saying, no, I want nothing to do with Jesus. And that persistent attitude, that persistent rejection becomes the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit, it's his ministry to bring the good news of the gospel into this world today. Now, people like, or any Christian, has the opportunity to voice it, but it's the Holy Spirit that is going to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to people. And when somebody rejects the work of the Holy Spirit concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, they're committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So ultimately, it's rejection of Jesus. And a Christian has already received Jesus, and Jesus has already come to live in their heart. So they will never be able to commit the sin of blasphemy.
Well, that's a great question. We hope this listener is tuned in today, and that's a great answer, and we appreciate hearing from you. We have a couple of calls on the line. Let's go to Harker Heights, Texas, Bob and Richard, and talk to Maggie. Maggie, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, Maggie. You're on the air. Okay, we're probably going to put Maggie on hold, and we're going to go to Detroit, Michigan. We're going to talk to George. Hi, George, you're on the air.
Hey, George, are you with us?
Well, a little bit of a problem here, so we will move along, and we have another question by email as we're working out that technical issue. This is concerning marriage and children. This is from Sobita, who writes to us and listens to the live stream every day. She says, do you think that in marriage the woman can have a child every year? Is it a sin to prevent children?
Well, certainly in marriage a woman could have a child every year, but it's really a marriage question, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
That's something that the husband and wife would need to look at and say, is this what we want to do, and to be on the same page? Sure, the answer would be yes. But it's something that you and the husband need to deal with and answer that question together. Now, as far as contraception is concerned, and that's part of the question, the Catholic Church has always been against contraception in any way, shape, or form. Again, I think that gets to be a concern between the husband and wife. How are they going to deal with family planning? And there are certainly, you know, ways that are appropriate that, you know, would fit with the conscience of each person. And
sure.
I think that's what it's important. Richard, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, it's just screaming to me that there's a relationship problem here. It has nothing to do with children. And so having that heart-to-heart sit down across the table from each other and really figure out what it is you're thinking. You know, if the husband wants lots of children, why does he want lots of children? What kind of spacing would they like? What can they afford? You know, what does the wife want? How does this all work together? These are serious questions that deserve a serious conversation. And I'm not talking about an angry conversation, but just a cool-headed, spirit-led conversation about how shall we deal with the size of our family.
Yeah.
And it can be a really positive outcome. It doesn't have to, you know, a woman is not constrained to being pregnant all the time. And if a man believes that, come talk to me in person and we'll have a heart-to-heart about that. I mean, you've got to wake up and smell the coffee, folks. I know people who have had 10 kids and loved every second of it. I've known people who had no children and loved every second of it. This is an issue for the husband and the wife together with the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. In just a moment, we're going to go back and try these calls with Maggie and George. But, Bob, you know, a bit earlier, I spoke to our listeners about our need by September 30th. What are your thoughts on this need?
Well, it's urgent, it's critical, and we certainly need an outpouring of generosity from our listeners, from Basic Gospel Nation. And this isn't something we haven't faced in the past. You know, every ministry, every church will have patches of time where contributions are low for, you know, numerous reasons. We don't know why that's the case right now. But we just need to make the need known, and that's what we're doing. We're doing it through email. We're making these announcements on the radio broadcast, and we certainly need a generous outpouring. And if a lot of people do a little bit, I mean, if 500 people give $100, there's our need met. And certainly we've already had, you know, an outpouring. We've seen some good gifts come in through the weekend. So we're so thankful to those who have done so, who've stepped up and helped us. But we need more help. So let's rally this week. We've got 5 days. Ask the Lord, you know, say, how can I help Basic Gospel right now? And that may be a gift of $25. It may be a gift of $100. It may be a gift of more than that. Somebody may give $10,000. Who knows? But ask the Lord, how can I help Basic Gospel right now? And then go to our website, basicgospel.net, and make a contribution. And like I said, if it's $10, if it's $50, if it's $50,000, rejoice that you are able to participate and to help keep this gospel message going out. I tell you, you travel around, you meet with people, and you see the heartaches, and you see the trials and tribulations that are going on, and you realize the world doesn't have any answers. The world is technologically advanced. The world is moving forward at a fast pace like we've never seen before. But the world is moving beyond the spiritual needs of the human heart. It has no answer. So it just talks about things around it. Only the gospel can talk to the human heart. Only the gospel can meet those deep spiritual needs. Somebody experiencing guilt. You know, what's a new iPhone going to say about guilt? What's the latest technical advance or medical advance going to say about guilt or shame or fear or emptiness? Only the gospel speaks to those things. So, folks, let's keep it going out there. There's a world dying out there that needs this truth.
Yeah.
So if you can stand with us, be a part of Basic Gospel Nation, we would be ever so grateful. But even more, those who are looking for answers, who find it through the Basic Gospel program, are going to be thankful for the contribution that you have made in order to deliver that good news to their hearts. So, folks, let's look at this and say, hey, as Basic Gospel Nation, and God working through this, let's crush this thing. Let's meet this $50,000 need, and let's even go beyond it. So, you know, the rest of the year is going to be on good, solid financial footing.
Yeah, basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net Canada. That's the way that you can give. Let's quickly go to Harker, Texas now and see if we can talk with Maggie. Maggie, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
And I would just like to emphasize what you just said and hope that those who are learning so much from your program will make those donations that you need. But here is my question. I'm a student of history, especially biblical history, and I'm just wondering if there is anything in the Bible or anything you might know. Did Moses leave a family in Egypt? I know he was raised as a prince, and I'm thinking he probably got married as a prince. Do you know anything about that?
Well, we know who he married, and we know the family. Richard, look up those passages.
Yeah, I've got it. It's in Exodus 2. There is no record of him marrying anyone while acting as a prince of Egypt. After he left Egypt and ran to hide in Midian, where he met these people and ended up marrying Zipporah and had a son with her. And so we have no information about what, if anything, happened in Egypt.
I see. Would there be any source that might, a book of something that you might recommend that would give me some side information that you would consider reliable, a history, perhaps?
Not with this topic, no.
I see.
Yeah, well, because it would just be speculation, and, you know, one person's speculation is no different than another's.
But here's what I'll suggest that you do. We'll put you on hold and make sure that we have your email address or any other contact information, and we might do a little research and send some things that we could recommend that might be helpful to you.
Well, Maggie, it's good to hear from you. Thank you so much. We hope you'll keep listening, and if you have further questions, that you will give us a call just about any time. Just about out of time here, Bob and Richard, and it's been an interesting broadcast today. And friends, once again, as I said at the top of the hour, this ministry, Basic Gospel, has an immediate need, and we need your help today. By September 30th, as Bob said also, we need to raise $50,000, and that's what we need to cover the cost of getting this program to you. It's an urgent need. It is a very real need, but we can't do it alone. You know, every member, as I've said earlier, every member of this Basic Gospel staff has been sent by the Spirit of Jesus Christ to help boldly proclaim this message, and each member of our staff gives back to support it. We all do. And if you were able to totally finance this ministry's needs, well, we would do so, but there's little doubt that we could do that. It's not possible. And actually, it shouldn't be necessary. Every one of us who have heard, who have believed, and who are living in the truth of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ needs to do our part. So friends, once again, we need to raise $50,000 by September 30th to cover the cost of radio and other media. The need, as I said, is urgent, and it is very real. We need your help today. You'll find all the information you need at basicgospel.net or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also use the Basic Gospel app. You can call your gift to 844-322-2742, and that number available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Let's do it, friends. Let's get this done. All the information to make your gift can be found at basicgospel.net or at basicgospel.net/Canada. Remember, outside the United States and Canada, PayPal is a great way to make your contribution. contribution to Basic Gospel. And did I mention the Basic Gospel app? I think I did. Maybe I did. I don't know.
It's okay.
Anyway, let's mention it again. The Basic Gospel app will keep you connected with Basic Gospel, and it's a great way to make your gift to Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.